This is PCJ Media, broadcasting to North America and the Caribbean from 16 to 1655 UTC on 9,955 kHz in the 31-meter band. For more information about PCJ Media, contact us by email at pcjmedia@gmail.com. Coming up, The Happy Station Show.
This is station PCJ of Philips Radio, broadcasting on 31 meters, our weekly Friday program, which only lasts for 60 minutes.
Estación de la Alegría, The Happy Station Show. Hello, everyone, and welcome again to another edition of The Happy Station Show. Keith Parent here with you for the next 55 minutes. That's right, 5-5. Lucky number, I think. Well, it's my new lucky number. Anyway, it's really nice to have you with me on today's show. As you may or may not remember, 2 weeks ago we ran an interview with Dodie Cowan, the Hers in His and Hers, that was on for many years at Radio Netherlands. During part one of that interview, we talked about her early days in entertainment in the Netherlands, how she joined Radio Netherlands when she met Jerry, what led to the divorce in the early 1990s, and a number of other subjects. Today we will bring you part two. But today I am not speaking to her as Dodie Cowan, but rather I'm speaking to her as Deborah Ray, the author. So that's coming up on today's edition of the show. Now, before we get to that, I want to mention an interesting email that came in just a couple of days ago from Richard Lemke, who lives in Alberta, Canada. And he is a regular listener of ours. And he sent me this very interesting news story that was in the Edmonton Journal on the 13th of December. A very interesting story. He said the story, he said in his email, he says, it is cold. Where is the global warming? And the reason is because of the story that he attached. It says, Edmonton's weather boasted two dubious distinctions Sunday. It was colder here than anywhere else in North America, and it marked the coldest December 13th in the city's history, the city of Edmonton. Environment Canada recorded the frigid temperatures of 46.1. Ooh, now that is cold. But that is actually more like minus 58.4 with the wind chill. And being from Canada, yes, I remember what that kind of cold weather was like. And I have to tell you, Richard, I haven't lived in Canada, as I've mentioned before on the show, for a number of years. The last time I went for a visit was, I think it was probably in 2003. And I went for 1 month, but I went during the summertime to Vancouver. Now, I'm originally from Montreal, where we get a fair amount of snow and cold. And I have to tell you, I don't miss it. I really don't miss it. And I had to show this story to a couple of my friends here in Taiwan, because here in Taiwan, we're now in the midst of our own winter. Now, winter here in Taiwan means we get daytime temperatures of between 18 and, let's say, 22 degrees centigrade. At nighttime, it will maybe go down to 14 or 15. And we get a lot of rain. Now, that is not exactly cold, right? So they were complaining to me and say, oh, it's so cold today. It's so cold today. It's so cold today. And I said, okay, listen, guys, read this. You know, and I handed them this story. And they went, I don't know how you can deal with that. Well, I said I was born in that kind of temperature. So anyway, we're going to dedicate the first song on today's show to Richard and to all those north of the border, meaning north of the U.S.-Canada border. It is Baby It's Cold Outside by Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been
hoping that you
so
drop in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands. They're just like
my
ice.
My mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your hurry?
And father will be pacing the
just
floor.
Just listen to the fireplace
so
roar.
So really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please
well,
don't hurry.
Maybe just a half a drink more.
Put some records on while I pour.
The neighbors might think.
Baby, it's bad out there.
Hey, what's in this drink?
No cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew
your
how.
Your eyes are like starlight
to
now.
Break the spell.
I'll take your hat. Say, your hair looks swell.
Ought to say no, no,
you
no,
mind if
sir.
I move in a little closer?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
Now what's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't
oh,
stay.
Oh, baby, don't hold out.
Oh, but it's cold outside.
Cold outside.
The answer is no.
Honey, it's cold outside.
The welcome has been
lucky that you dropped
so nice
in.
And warm.
Look out that window. Take a look at that storm.
Sister will be suspicious.
Gosh, your lips look delicious.
Brother will be there at the door.
Waves upon a tropical
My
shore.
My maiden aunt's mind is vicious.
You know your lips are delicious.
Well, maybe just a cigarette more.
Never such a blizzard before.
I gotta get home.
Maybe you'll freeze out there.
Say, lend me your coat.
It's up to your knees up.
You've
there.
Really been grand.
I thrill when you touch
but don't
my
you see?
How can you do this thing
There's
to me?
There's bound to be talk tomorrow.
Think of my lifelong
At
sorrow.
Least there will be plenty implied.
If you're caught pneumonia and
I really can't
get
stay.
Over that old doubt.
Ah, oh, but it's cold. Maybe it's cold. Thank you.
Edie Gourmet and Steve Lawrence with Baby, It's Cold Outside. And I think that's something that Richard is saying right now. Baby, it's cold outside. Yes, I'm not planning to go anytime soon to where you are, Richard. Well, maybe in the summer. We'll talk about it then. All right. You're listening to the International Happy Station Show. You can check us out online. Our website is www.pcjmedia.com. That's www.pcjmedia.com. And we're also on Facebook. So if you're a member of Facebook, just do a search for PCJ Media or The Happy Station Show. Click on that and then you can join the group. And that's all you need to do. All right. As I said at the top of today's show, my special guest today is Dodie Cowan, but not speaking as Dodie Cowan, but as Deborah Ray, the author. My first question to Dodie was, how did she get interested in writing?
Oh, yes, yes. I love writing. I've always loved writing. And my writing is very important to me. And it's also something I've wanted to do all my life, but I never had the time. And now I have all the time in the world because I can't do bloody well anything else. And, you know, I have to be aired, taken out on my, what I call my Lance Armstrong, which is an electric wheelchair, a very jazzy electric wheelchair. And I can go shopping or go to Bordeaux or something. And, you know, I'm aired. But otherwise, I'm in the house. I can take 10 steps with a rollator. And that's it. And so writing for me has become my life. And I'm so full of ideas, things that have piled up over the years. You know, things I've never worked out. And like poems, I write poems. I always say I don't write a poem. I burp a poem. It'll just clunk. It will be there. I'm talking to you. I won't do it now, but I could be talking to you. I put down the phone, and I could write a poem. I burp a poem, and books I've written. Well, one, Rachel Survives Vineyard, is a must. That was a must book. I had to write that book. And the other books I've written, which will be published in years to come, they've always already been accepted. There's one, a very, very sexy, very sensual romance, which I wrote after Rachel survived, and then another one where I go back to the war. Mm-hmm.
When you're writing, how much of what is in your writing is influenced by Dodie Cowan?
Influenced by my life. Let's say by my life. Because Dodie Cowan, for me, is no more. She was. And I am very proud of Dodie Cowan. I'm very proud of what she has done and of her work. And I think it was damn good what she did. But she is no more. As Dodie Cowan, she has become Deborah Ray. And why Deborah and why Ray? Because Deborah is my Hebrew name. My Hebrew name is Ruth Deborah. So I took Deborah, and why Ray? Because Ray is a translation of the name König, King, which is my maiden name. Mm-hmm. So that's how I became Deborah. A lot of my life... You know, when you write a novel, when you write an autobiography, it's your life, okay? When you write a novel, there's always part of you that comes out in that novel. You know what you're writing about. Like if you put a novel in Portugal, then we'll have to know what Portugal is like. You have to know Portugal. Otherwise, you can't write about it. So when I write about the war, or I write about romance or something like that, I then will have to know what I'm talking about. So there, let's say the life of Deborah Dodie, of course plays a very important part, of course, in spite of the fact that the lovely hoax hunters want to tell me that I had the life of Riley, and I had a wonderful life, and you know, that I'm just a big bloody liar and all that.
You know, it sounds to me that your writing is also, in some way, kind of therapy. Would you agree with that?
No, not really. Yes, no, no, yes, no. Therapy, I don't know. When I wrote, after Rachel Sorai's Vineyard, when I wrote The Sleeping Madonna, which is that very sexy, sensual romance, that was a kind of therapy because I had to get away from the war. I just had to get away from it because what I lived during the war is not very nice, to put it mildly. To put it very mildly, even though people want to tell me that it's not true, but I was recognized by the Foundation 1945 based on 100% invalidity. So I'm 100% incapable of working or anything else. You know, normal work. Because mm-hmm. as a writer, you don't work, you write. And when I wrote that, the Sleeping Madonna, I just had to get away from the war. And I was challenged by a few friends who said, you can't write a sexy poem. So I wrote a couple of sexy poems. And then they said, yeah, but you couldn't write a sexy book. I wrote a very sexy book.
So it's almost like they're giving you challenges. They say, no, you can't do it. And you want, I can't do it? Let me show you I can do it.
Oh, yes. Never tell me that I can't do it. I'll tell you, no, I can't run. No, Keith, I cannot run anymore. No, I cannot sing an aria from Tosca anymore. A lot of things I can't. But give me something and tell me you can't do this or that. Oui, you're in trouble. You are in trouble, you know. Because it's that's in my character. It's also my father who instilled that in me, you know. You know, if the people tell you can't do it, show mm-hmm. them. So with the baby bottle. If they tell you you can't, then show them that you can, and that it has remained with me.
You know, you were mentioning a moment ago about the trouble that you had with the hoax hunters.
Hoax hunters.
And
yes.
You sent me. We're not going to mention the names, of course, but I remember you sent me the names of people, and I was looking up these names on the internet, and they've seemed to cause problems for quite a few people.
Oh yes, but some of them. That's what I hold against them. What I hold against them is this one person especially, like the Fonseca case, you know, the Surviving with Wolves. It was a hoax. It was a bloody hoax. And now Apples Over the Fence, it's a hoax. It's a fantasy the man had, which he wrote down and said it happened. Well, it did not happen like that. So they were hoax. Those books were hoaxes. But what she is doing with me, or has done with me, and that's why we withdrew the first edition of Rachel Sorai's Vineyard, is she's telling me I'm a liar, that my book is a hoax. She's even, she and somebody else, who's, we're not mentioning names, eh?
The names.
Well, this person has decided that I am not Jewish, which I find the greatest goddamn insult you can give a person. I'm not even a Jew. And I think, what the hell are you to tell me that? How dare you tell me I'm not a Jew? Nobody can prove that he's a Jew. That's the biggest joke of it all. I called a chief rabbi about this, mm-hmm. and he started to laugh, and he said, I asked him, Rabbi, can you prove that you're a Jew? And he started to laugh. He said, no, I can't. He said, you know something? Abraham couldn't even. Abram was the first convert. So it's totally ridiculous to say you're not even a Jew. And she has convicted me as being a liar, as being a hoax, as being this and that, based on the words of my half brother.
Mm-hmm.
He was not even there when those things happened. He was put with the family in a safe area of Holland where he had lots to eat. And so he was not even there, the guy. But he's after the money. He's after the money. So I find it filthy to condemn somebody going by the word of another person. You don't do that. You don't do that. And this one person who belongs to the Happy Station group is only there to keep an eye on me. Because if you look, she joined when this thing about me came about. So it seems she's there to check on me. They're checking me like 5-6 times a day, my site, to see if I add something. And they do it by proxy. They have a proxy email address, which is hidemyass.com. Mm-hmm. And they you know, there are lots of them. They're all over the place, and they're after me. But it's an awful. My book is a novel. It happens to have the same name.
When I was, you know, reading the email that you sent me and looking into the hoax hunters, you know, it really made me think that these people are mad.
I don't know if they're mad. No, I think they're very smart. They're very intelligent, but they're very cruel. They're extremely cruel. And don't forget that this one specific person who is the instigator of the hoax hunting business, and she is a member of the Happy Station group, this woman is earning a hell of a lot of money, you know, from these hoaxes. Like the Fonseca, she's still doing tours where she's talking about the Fonseca hoax. She's now talking about the Abbotsford for Defense hoax. And her fee, it's very interesting. Very interesting. So they're earning a hell of a lot of money. And so they decided that they get to me.
Mm-hmm.
Bingo. Bingo, bingo. And they say things which, you know, and my half-brother, well, you see, he's one of those guys who hates everybody who works hard and earns good money, and he's always hated me because of that. And so his mother stole a lot of money from me to give to him, so he lived fine on that. And he's also after the money. So, and there's jealousy. There's also jealousy with him. But it's sick. It's sick. It's sad. It's very cruel. I find it very sadistic. Like now, this you know, tracking my every move. Like every hour, on the hour, there are 3 or 4 people on a proxy thing who are checking on me, checking what I'm doing on my site.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and I know who they are because I have somebody who happens to work behind my .com, and he was kind enough to, well, etc. So I know who they are, and it's the same people. And they have. I also heard that they now have a chain letter to boycott my novel, to boycott Rachel Sarai's Vineyard. So that's very nice.
You know,
I find that sick.
With all this going on, how have you been able to cope with it?
To fight because I've been fighting for a hell of a long time on my blog, you know, these attacks I got, anonymous attacks on my blog, and setting people straight, and they did very foul things. but really very foul things there, publishing something two psychiatrists had published in Holland, and acting as if they were those psychiatrists. So I lashed out at them because I knew them. I know them. These two old guys. Mm. And it turned out that they never published that. They never put it on. So they were taken for a ride, and I was. So I've been fighting that. And at one point, I said to my publisher at the time, I said, what we're doing now is we're putting a young fish into very, very dirty water. And that young fish is not going to survive or survive being soiled. And then I suggested to withdraw. And he was, I was reading the emails the other day. And his emails, he sent me God knows how many emails to please reconsider and. And then I just couldn't, I didn't want the book to be published. I didn't want it. Apart from the special edition, mm-hmm. the signed and numbered special edition, I didn't want it to be published. You don't publish a book under those circumstances. You can't.
Now that the book is out there and it's available in some other places, let's talk about the book. What inspired you to write this?
I had to. It was a story that had to be known because it's a story about three wars. It's a story about the Second World War and children at war. Children, war children. What happens to war children? Because there are millions of war children around, especially today. You look around, you look at the war situations in this world, and almost everywhere there are children involved. And so for that reason, I had to write that book. Then there was the Second World War that was child abuse, mental and physical child abuse, which is something one cannot write enough about, I think. And I was seven when I was raped. And Mommy Dearest was lying next to me when this happened. And she slept through it. So, talking about child abuse. And if you read the book, then you see what child abuse is all about. And then the third war is about knowing your roots. In this world, many children are born in France. We have an expression, you're born under X, which means that you don't know who is your mother, and you don't know who is your father, and you're put up for adoption almost immediately. Now they're changing the law, maybe, but up till now, you could never find out who had been your mother, who was your biological mother, who was your biological father. There was no contact possible. I think this is the most criminal thing you can do to a child. Say you were born, you were carried by another woman, you were born, but we cannot tell you who that woman was. And now you're adopted, and now you have a nice mommy and daddy, and so you should live happily ever after. No, a child needs to know its roots. You need to know your roots. You must know your roots. And a fourth war, maybe the destruction of roots.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, for me, yes. It was a book that had to be written, that has to see the world and has to be seen by the world. And that's one of the reasons why I shall never forgive what this sergeant woman and the others are doing, with their hoax hunting, because they're sitting on their fat asses and they're earning a lot of money, which let them earn a lot of money, I don't give a darn. But do not do it over somebody else's back. And that's what they are doing. because they don't have a leg to stand on. That's the point. That's the point. They don't have a leg to stand on. But anyhow, I want Rachel Savai to see the world, which she's doing right now, and to be seen by the world, which she is a little bit, but, you know, it's I just got in my first copy. You've seen my book before me.
What are the aspects that of what you were just talking about is rather interesting, because in some ways to me it sounds like this story, which is very personal to you, is almost like you're trying to tell the readers, you know, we have to make sure this kind of thing doesn't happen again.
Right. Lest they forget. And let it never happen again, or at least know that it's happening, and do what you can do to avoid this or to prevent this. You know, because there are a lot of messages in that book, I think, you know, of which should wake up people to prevention, to preventing, and I think so. I think so. I think it also explains what PTSD is all about, what boys in the States are now going through, and finally they're being recognized a little bit, you know, after so many suicides. I have a thing, SOS PTSD, where boys who have come back from Iraq would call me. And we talk, because they knew that I knew what I was talking about, because they had the same problem. And then came the older guys who had come back from Vietnam. And we talked, and this has become a snowball effect. And at one point, I had to limit my calls, because I would sometimes spend all night with people calling me from the States. And, you know, I think it's very important to see what a war does to a person, especially when a person is young, and most especially when a person is a child, and what abuse does to a child, and the person it grows into. Because the abuse, the effect of the abuse, you will never lose. The mental abuse will always stay with you. So, you know, those things are, and then of course that third war about knowing your roots, knowing where you come from, knowing who the hell you are. Like in my case, I don't really know, and maybe I don't know. I don't really know who I am. I know I'm my father's daughter, because I look a lot like him. But when I look at my birth certificate, my official birth certificate, I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it's true, because they've been lying to me all my life. You know? So it's things like that. Roots are so important. And every child at one point, especially adopted children, you start looking for roots, for your roots. You want to know. You have to know. So I think that's why I wrote. That's why I wrote the first edition of Rachel's Rising Yet, and that's why the novel is now coming out under the same name. And in my next book, which will come out next year probably, I talk about the possibility of a ménage à trois, three people loving each other, that it's possible. And there I have no experience, by the way, but I've very close contact with, etc. So, you know, stuff like that. And I talk a lot about Portugal and and all that. In every novel, there's part of yourself, a part of you, what you know, of what you lived also.
And I was speaking there with Deborah Ray, otherwise known as Dodie Cohen. You can read Deborah's works on her weblog, which is http://deborahray.wordpress.com. http://deborahray.wordpress.com. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the International Happy Station.
The British DX Club is one of the world's leading DX clubs, with hundreds of members both in the UK and around the globe. BDXE produce a comprehensive monthly magazine called Communication, covering all aspects of the DXing hobby. The BDXE Audio Circle is also available and is a monthly program of DX catches and general chat about radio. For more information, please write to the British DX Club, 10 Hemdene Hill, Caversham, Reading, RG4, 7SB in the United Kingdom, or visit the website at www.bdxc.org.uk. That's www.bdxc.org.uk.
Hi, this is Ian McFarland. If you're an SWL and feel nostalgic for the good old days of shortwave, you'll be interested in three sets of CDs that Colin Newell and I have produced. The first gives you 100 idents and interval signals from stations around the world. Then there's the foreign language recognition course that will help you identify the myriad languages that you can hear on shortwave. And the newest CD set, a look at the past 20 years in shortwave broadcasting with some of my broadcasting colleagues, and a look into the future. The proceeds from the sale of these CDs are in aid of a charity, a food bank for the less fortunate in my city of Duncan, British Columbia, in Canada. Learn more about these CDs on the dxer.ca internet website. That's dxer.ca. Good listening, everyone.
Hi, this is Bob Zanotti. Do you miss Swiss Radio International? If so, I invite you to visit my website, SwitzerlandInSound.com. Colorful and informative radio features about Switzerland, its destinations, interesting people, politics, culture, and even the two Bobs. SwitzerlandInSound.com, where English language radio from Switzerland lives on.
And that was the Morse code message to enter the lucky draw for the prizes that we will have at the end of the year. And as I've said before, it's not important that you know what Morse code is or what the message says, but the fact that you heard it. Now, all you need to do is send me an email, what you heard before it, what you heard after it. The email address is pcj.happystation@gmail.com. That's pcj.happystation@gmail.com. You can also find out the other contact information for us at our website at www.pcjmedia.com. And I'll run down the prizes again. The first prize is a SanGen ATS-909 shortwave receiver. The second prize, a SanGen ATS-606A. The third prize are the three books about shortwave broadcasting by Jerry Berg. The fourth prize is a one-year membership to the magazine Communication published by the BDXC. That's the British DX Club. And the fourth prize is 10 CDs going out to 10 lucky winners of Tom Mayer's CD, Easy Come, Easy Go, a collection of songs that Tom recorded for the Happy Station in the 1970s and 80s. All right, so enter now, enter now, enter now. And the winners will be announced December 31st between 16 and 18 hours UTC for the second special live broadcast from the Happy Station Show, which is going to be 120 minutes instead of our regular 55. All right, now time for more music. We're going to take a listen to a singer who is probably one of the most well-known singers of Yiddish songs. He is from Holland. His name is Leo Flood. The song we're going to take a listen to is called Doina, here on the International Happy Station.
Schäppchen läuft, husten, doina. Diese Vögel sind geflogen und geküsst, nach Augen, doina. Augen schwarz wie zwei Äpfel, küsst sich mein geliebtes Käppel, doina. Lippen seiden wie Krälen, weg nach Röte mit Marellen, doina. Singen Felder, blühen Blumen, weil mein Mädel ist gekommen, doina. Lach mein Herz, sieg mein Fiedel, Zigeuner, Gypsy, Lidl, Doina. Sie zerrüben noch zwei Wochen, das Zigeuner ist hart zerbrochen, Doina. Nur das Fiedel, es fehlt ein ewig weiter, ewig spielen, Doina.
From Holland, the incredible Leo Flood with Doina here on the International Happy Station. Let me see. What do we have? Oh, yes, I should mention this right now. Next week is going to be Happy Station's Christmas special. And that edition of the show will be airing to all regions. And it's going to be a fun Christmas show. And when I was, you know, putting it together, I was trying to think, how should I do it differently than maybe what was done in the past? So if you tune in next week to the show, you'll hear some interesting poems that you are not exactly well known. You'll hear some traditional Christmas songs that you can sing along with, as well as some ones that are more untraditional and stuff that you may not be so familiar with. And of course, we'll be mentioning Hanukkah as well on the show next week. And that is Happy Station's Christmas show, which is airing next week. To find out all the air dates, log on to our website at www.pcjmedia.com, because the first edition of our Christmas show actually starts to air this Saturday, the 19th. It will air in New Zealand, and then on Sunday in Indonesia, and then on the 21st of December on KBCT in Waco, Texas. And then we will have the transmission to South America and North America on the 24th of December 2009, which of course is Christmas Eve. But you can find out the complete PCJ and Happy Station schedule, and like I said, at our website at www.pcjmedia.com. And I thought, you know, to put everybody in the Christmas spirit right now, let's take a listen to Boney M. and Mary's Boy Child here on the International Happy Station.
Mary's Boy Child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. And man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
Oh my Lord, that sin may not enslave us, and once more.
Boney M. and Mary's Boy Child and Oh My Lord, a little preview for what we have on next week's Christmas special. Actually, not even a preview, because trust me, if you tune in next week, you will be very surprised. It is going to be a very traditional type of Christmas show, but yet at the same time, very untraditional with a lot of surprises. And that's the only thing I can say, a lot of surprises. So tune in next week to find out what all that's about. Anyway, with that, we've come to the end of this edition of the Happy Station Show for listeners in North America on 9955 kilohertz in the 31 meter band. And I want to say, on behalf of our technician Kevin Lee, our production assistant Johan Backer, this is Keith Powell all the way in Taipei, Taiwan, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara. You have been listening to PCJ Media, broadcasting to North America and South America on 9,955 kilohertz in the 31-meter band. If you want more information about PCJ, our email address is pcjmedia@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.
My name's Colin Newell, and I'm the editor and creator of DXR.ca. Since the mid-90s, DXR.ca has been the go-to website for timely resources for the DXR, SWL, and broadcast listener. If you're looking for unbiased reviews of the most modern receivers and antennas, or are interested in participating in some of the more lively online forums all about radio, then come on by. DXR.ca, a world band radio website.